This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of the Get That Gang. Over the next hour and a bit, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses and a top-of-mind topic relevant to trainers. We also talk about events to consider, books to read, a weekly top tip for online course creation, and of course it wouldn't be Trainer Talk, the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest. Every now and again, we invite a guest along to share their experience and expertise. You can contact us through our Facebook group. Just search for Trainer Talk the podcast, or feel free to email either Sharon or me. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast. Yes, we are back with episode number 68 after a very brief hiatus, which we'll tell you all about in today's episode. But for now, the things about the number 68 that you really, really need to know. Number one, it's a Perrin number. Whatever that means, who knows? I'm sure it's important to some very important mathematicians somewhere. But it's also apparently the last two-digit number in the digits of pi. And I can't quite get my head around this one, because surely you could say that for any two-digit number. No, not gonna think any longer on that one. Makes my head hurt on a Monday morning. But the thing that I really like about the number 68 is that it's a happy number.
Yeah,
so I think we'll go with that, won't we, Sharon?
I think so. Yes. Yeah.
Excellent.
We like that here.
So you're back on broadband. Hooray!
Yay! Yes, indeed. That was the reason why we didn't have a podcast last week, because I didn't have any broadband. Late on Monday afternoon, and oh my goodness me, had to survive at least, well, when did we move in? So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6 days without broadband.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh my goodness. It's a living hell.
It is. Very weird, actually. It makes you realise everything you just take for granted, you just can't do anymore.
So true. We're so connected and interconnected these days, aren't we? That you just do. You take it totally for granted until you don't have it. Yeah. And then even when you got it back, it was still a bit patchy for a few days, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was terrible, which we'll come on to. But anyway, all working perfectly now.
Good. Marvellous.
So that's just very good. So, yeah, so here we are.
Tell us all about it then. Come on.
We're here. So it's been a very busy, how should I describe it? A bit of a roller coaster 2 weeks.
Yeah, a bit emotional.
A bit emotional. So we had all the lead up because we actually exchanged and completed really quickly.
Yes.
So we exchanged on the Tuesday and then moved on the Wednesday. So we only had a week to basically pack everything up and get head around the fact that we were actually moving after all that uncertainty and everything. It all came really quickly. And so because of that, it was so just incredibly, in some emotional, some ways it was good that it came quickly, because it didn't drag it out for me to get even more upset than I was.
True, true.
Because it was really hard. It was really hard leaving, you know, and just very emotional. And on the day itself, leading up to it, I've just kept crying all the time.
Which I think we talked about before, Jim was terribly sympathetic to, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, indeed not. Not crying again, are you? And then came to the date itself, you know, and I knew it would be like this. I was cleaning, you know, and he was saying, you're going to have to stop cleaning in a minute. We really do have to go. And I'm like, oh, you know, just clean a bit more, you know. And then I put the key in the door for the last time and pulled the door to, oh my God, I was just literally hyperventilating. It was just so hard. Then I went round the corner to the estate agents and obviously handed in the key, and I'd bought them a present, you know, a nice box of chocolates and things like that, and a thank you card.
Yeah.
And I walked in to give them that, and I sat down and I went,
oh no.
And they went, come in the office. Because I was in bits, you know, so I had to go and compose myself. So anyway, did that, and then had 2.5 hours driving to think about it. And I noticed that I was driving like slower and slower. And I was literally, as I was driving, thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, because I just thought I couldn't remember the hat. It seems so long since I've seen it.
Yeah.
Remember, we only saw it once, and I was like, so literally, I parked the car up, removal ban was outside, and at the front of the house, there's like these little, sort of little steps that go down to the front door.
Yeah.
And walking down the steps, and I was literally almost talking to myself like a nutcase. I was like, almost like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, thinking, oh, you know, really getting myself in a state. And then when I walked in, and the people who we were buying the house off, they were there to hand the keys over. And I walked in and just sort of saw the view at the back. And I just thought, oh, okay, I remember why I like this house now.
Yeah, definitely.
All is well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was that. And then we had literally, then we've had a completely chaotic, we've been here almost 2 weeks now. So we've just had a succession of, you know, tradespeople round every day. It's been like BT, British Gas, kitchen people, you know, flooring people, just all that stuff that you need to do, getting the wheels in motion to start making this house, you know, as we want it. So so that's all been a bit chaotic. Various deliveries, like, you know, beds and, you know, all that stuff that you need to do. So it's all been a bit,
very hectic.
Very hectic indeed, and sort of work. I completely underestimated what could be achieved during this period. I just thought, okay, well, even when I get the broadband back, I'll just snap back into action and like
See, even when you're not moving and you have a break, you find it difficult to snap back into action. So yeah. I think that was probably a little bit hopeful, shall we say, that I'll move, get the broadband switched on, straight back into work, it'll be fine, won't be a problem at all.
Indeed not, you know. And I should know this actually by now, because it's the same sort of thing that I used to feel in the school holidays. You know, I used to, in the early days of my business, I used to just, you know, plough on regardless when the kids were on holiday, and either put them in childcare or send them to various camps and things. And then realised actually that really wasn't what I wanted to do, and I was only doing things sort of half-heartedly anyway.
Yeah,
it's I think it's something, if I can't sort of be fully in it,
yep,
then I'd rather not be in it at all. Is that
yeah sense? Totally, yeah, absolutely. You can't do it half-hearted.
No.
And particularly with your business, where it's so much a part of you. I mean, the brand is you. Yeah, okay, the brand is Trainers Training Company, but it's you. Trainer Talk is you. It's your community. You're kind of the glue that holds it all together. So whilst, you know, left to our own devices for a week or so.
Well done, everyone.
We pulled together. We rallied round. Between us, we all remembered what needed doing, sort of. But at the same time, it's not the same without you there, which is a wonderful thing, but also it's a bit of a ball and chain for you, because if you do have something big going on, like moving house, then there's just no way you can fit all of that in, is there?
No.
But yeah, you know, nothing fell over, nothing more or less got forgotten. We had 1 week of not having any of the Trainer Talk Insider Awards, but no doubt you'll be making up for that tomorrow.
Indeed.
So it's all good. It's all good.
I did think about it, because last Tuesday I had broadband, obviously, and I thought, yeah, but I don't know what anybody's been doing this week.
No.
Pointless.
Exactly.
So, and yeah, and what was really funny in the group, because obviously nobody had realised, apart from you, and why would they, that I didn't have any broadband. So
yeah.
They were asking all these questions. They're going, oh, where are you? And it's like, oh, she hasn't actually got any, you were just saying, she hasn't got any broadband to actually reply.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but somebody asked a question about something. It's like, yeah, she won't be able to answer that at the moment, but try this. It's fine. She'll be back. Don't worry. But you do, I mean, you know, you don't know what you've got until you got it's gone type thing. It was just, you know, it was one of those things. And I think that you needed that extra time just to be able to sort of decompress a little bit and get stuff sorted out and make yourself feel a little bit more comfortable. Plus, as well, help Jem to settle in, which again, we'll come on to later on in the podcast. So, you know,
that's to talking about change as well, because I hadn't realised actually until I was it was really good that I had to take the enforced break from work because I didn't have a broadband, because actually I didn't realise I got hit, how much the last few weeks had taken out of me.
Yeah.
Emotionally, mentally, not physically, just mentally, you know, really wearing. And when I got here, it was almost like, oh, I just need some, oh, I can't even, my brain, you know,
yeah,
function, you know, it's kind of, yeah, so it's kind of good in a way.
Completely.
But yeah, so, and also I've had, a couple of things, you know, I've had lots of nice cards from people, which has been lovely, so lots of nice welcome. New home cards. I have this lovely new mug.
I know. Sharon's showing me a shiny new, it's very bulbous, big mug, actually. Bright yellow. So Sharon's colour, saying happiness begins with tea.
Yay.
So, you know, that was, and that was a present from?
From my gym, from my old gym.
So oh, yeah. They know you so well, don't they?
Oh, I know. That was really sweet of them. So they sent me a lovely card and a lovely candle and this lovely mug. So I've had lots of things like that, which has been great. And yeah, a couple of things discovered already about Wales. Again, we'll come on to the dog walking digest, but you know, and I was warned about this. I know you warned me about it, but well, it rains a lot, doesn't it?
If only I could find a sound effect for "told you so."
I mean.
Yeah, okay, but we were saying last week, and particularly with the view that you've got, which is amazing. I mean, you sent us a video, or was it just for my benefit? I can't remember.
Yeah,
it was just me, wasn't it? This view is absolutely amazing, listeners. It's extraordinary, which means that, and plus you're on a bit of a hill as well. So that means that when it's horrible, but when it's good, it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, when the sun comes out in most other places, it's like, oh, that's nice, the sun's out. But when the sun's out for you, it's nothing short of spectacular. No. Full stop.
Yeah.
So
it's,
you know,
amazing. What I was saying, it rains a lot, and we've got this amazing view that you can only see like 70% of the time.
Well, I'll take that. I tell you, looking out the window today, God, it's miserable out there. Blooming horrible weather. I'm so fed up with this rain.
Oh God, so am I.
Completely. Oh yeah, the wind as well, totally. I mean, you know, taking nothing away from the fact that I am very, very fortunate in that I don't live in a part of the country, and neither do you, that has suffered from these awful floods that we've seen. But it's just, oh God, rain again, wind again, you know, when's it gonna stop?
Just awful. But it is very changeable here, because one of the really lovely things about looking out the back there and seeing the view is how you just see like this enormous sky.
Yes.
And it just how it changes so quickly. Yeah. So like yesterday morning it was like this, it was raining and cold and miserable and windy and all the things. Couldn't see anything out the back. By the time we sort of got to 12 o'clock, we went down the beach and had coffee and everything. It was lovely. The sun had come out. Mm-hmm. And by the time we walked in the house again, could see the view out the back and some. It was amazing. It was like, well, is this the same house as it was at 11 o'clock this morning?
Fabulous. Yeah.
Very changeable.
So. Definitely. What I'm really hoping is that we're getting all the wind and the rain out now, out of the way now, so that we'll have a really nice summer.
Yeah.
You know, fingers crossed for that one.
So we've had a couple of other things. So, you know, just to let you know, everybody, my new office is freezing. And the other day I was sat here with my coat on. In fact, I had my coat on first thing. I thought, I've got to take my coat off. In the podcast, I'll just put another layer on.
I don't blame you. You did look. The first time I saw you with your new broadband was that I think it was the spotlight session. And I came on, I think I was about a minute late into the session. And I came on and I looked at you. I thought, she's got a coat on. Is it cold in there?
Well, basically, it's got all these windows in,
yeah,
which is great. It's lovely and light, as you can see, and the sun comes out. But, you know, it's freezing. But I'm having a radiator put in next week, which I can't.
Good thinking.
So being done while I'm at Trainspot Live, and when I return, I will have a radiator by my desk, which will be very nice indeed.
Oh, excitement, excitement. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Although I can imagine with all those windows in the summer, it's going to get quite hot. No.
It's going to get hot. I'll be moaning. That'll be too hot then. So
there's just no pleasing some people.
You can open windows, can't you? You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But then you'll get the wind coming in and blowing all your papers everywhere.
that's it. I want to go back.
That's all right. I was wondering what to get you as a housewarming gift. A set of paperweights, I think, is probably going to be the thing, isn't it? You know, a great big thick shawl and a set of paperweights.
And in the midst of all this trauma, then I've been to my new gym, so I've been there for a week, and yes, a little bit hard to begin with, so adjusting to somebody new. Indeed, by Wednesday's session, which was only the second session, he'd made me cry.
I think you need to fess up on that one.
Well, it was a combination of it being a lot harder than I was used to, and also the fact that it's a different gym, and I missed everybody in my old one, and also just I was tired with all the move and everything like that. But he did make up for it on Friday, because he bought me a bottle of wine, so there you go.
Yeah, because you scared the living daylights out of him. He's probably got like a gym instructor's WhatsApp group or something, going, God, I got a new client and she started crying and I don't know what to do. There really should be some instructions for sort of, you know, hormonal women. When they've just moved to the area, this is what to look out for. Random crying at any point. Don't worry, it's not you.
Oh dear. So that was me. So what about your week, Jill?
Well, yeah, I mean, by my 2 weeks, I suppose. But it's all been moving on a pace, having lots of nice conversations with people. And I had the last 2 weeks of the sales acceleration system, which went really well, and getting some nice compliments on that one. And people sort of working their way through things and really enjoying the process. But as expected with that, even though it's only a 10-minute task every day, sometimes life gets in the way. So it's quite easy to fall behind on something like that, so I should be getting some more formal feedback and testimonials hopefully from people this week on that. Ready to run it again, I think probably after Easter, just after Easter I'll do it, something like that, again, which is good. And then last week I did a favour for a friend who'd got double booked. I actually ended up doing some face-to-face training for two days back to back. Yeah, I know. I haven't done. I mean, aside from my boot camp, which, yes, it's face-to-face training, but it's my stuff and it's not standing up in a classroom type training. So I haven't done formal face-to-face training probably for a couple of years. So it was a bit kind of, ooh, well, I've forgotten. All my little tricks for winning a room over and getting the points across. Plus, it wasn't my material either, which on the surface of it sounds, you just rock up and go through the PowerPoint slides. But it wasn't that. Yeah. There were a few PowerPoint slides, but actually there was a lesson plan. And even with the lesson plan, because it's somebody else's material, there's loads of sort of, shortcut phrases and sentences in there. But I got a really good briefing from the person that I did it for. And actually the 2 days, because the subject matter was stuff that I dealt with quite extensively in my corporate life, it was quite an easy set of courses to deliver, and got some really cracking feedback as well from the participants, which was good. So, hashtag still got it was what I would have put in the Friday celebration post, which was really good. But oh God, don't have to take it out of you doing that training. I mean, we get posts in the group all the time, don't we, in the Training Talk community group, from people going, God, how do you do any more than this? I've just done 3 days training and it's exhausted me. And it is tiring, because you give of your all, don't you, when you're standing in front of people and sort of, let alone working out, okay, have I included everything that I need to include, because it's not my course and I need to make sure that the person I'm representing, doesn't have their reputation tarnished because I've done a bad job and all that kind of stuff, let alone wanting to do a good job for yourself anyway. And then having to sort of, answer any questions that they might have, and not second guessing the policies that are in there, because both days were aligned with HR policies. So one was on recruitment and another one was on running an investigation for the disciplinary process. So again, reasonably sort of standard stuff for any big organisation, but at the same time, you don't want to say something, give them guidance that isn't part of that organisation's policy. So I had a very rapid immersion into this stuff, but that went really, really well, but was exhausting. But it kind of, when you take a couple of days out of your week, normally the only time I have a couple of or 2.5 days taken out of my week is when Train and Talk Live comes around. So that was the start of quite a busy time, because we've got Train and Talk Live coming up next week, and then 2 weeks after that I'm going skiing for a week. I think we'll probably get to the end of March and beginning of April, and I'll be right. That was that then. Where on earth is a quarter of the year gone? But I'm not wishing it away at the moment. I've still got plenty of time to look at my action plan for the ambassadors meeting next week. Anyway, moving swiftly on from that one, what's really exciting is that I'm also getting a lot of people asking about website stuff at the moment, which is really cool. Really, really cool. I'm going to say random and out of the blue, but you and I both know these things aren't random and out of the blue at all. They're as a result of consistently putting out the messages that this is what I am and what I do, kind of thing, or who I am and what I do. So it's great that conversations that you just have in passing with people, you know that at some point in the future they'll come off. I mean, I had a lovely conversation with a lady who is, well, she's Canadian, but she's actually in New York at the moment, visiting her sister, and just happened to put a post in another group at the invitation of the group owner. And she then went onto my website, read through the I've got a section on there called geek translation, because there's an awful lot of jargon used in web development and design, so I have this geek translation page, and she said, I learnt a lot on that, thank you so much. And we had a lovely conversation yesterday, and she's, by coincidence, and again, I think, you know, the universe is listening, she said in her introduction, oh yes, and I'm also thinking about doing some online stuff at some point, but, you know, and she just, it was just a throwaway comment. And of course I'm there sort of, you know, ears pricked up going, hi, we're talking about websites, but actually, did you know my sister site, get that course online? So at some point down the line, she and I are going to do some work together.
Yeah.
On that, which is really nice. And it's, what's really lovely is that it feels like there's a nice flow going on at the moment between stuff that people are coming in and asking for immediately, and then conversations that are happening that will be a little bit further down the road as well, which is lovely, because whilst we're all used to this sort of feast and famine kind of cycle of the freelance world, at the same time, it's nice to feel like, oh yeah, I've got nice things sort of ticking over in the background, and I don't feel like I'm having to push anything at the moment, which is really good, because, you know, there's only one of me to go around, and I'm kind of working at probably 95% capacity at the moment. Pretty full on, which is fine. You know, I like to have lots on, as you know, but what I did do yesterday, and I'm really, really pleased that I did, although yesterday was Sunday, so for those of you that don't listen regularly, you won't know we record the podcast on a Monday morning, ready to put it out on a Friday. So yesterday for us talking now was Sunday, and normally on a Sunday I would sort of use that as time to catch up on a few bits and pieces, but at the moment I'm having to sort of schedule it to do almost a proper day's work, not really, but almost. And then I went for a run with a group of people. I say a run, more a shuffle. Again, regular listeners will know it's not really a run for me. It's a, you know, my feet go one in front of the other, at a slightly higher pace than walking. And it's supposed to be by the beach on the promenade, but with all the storms that we've had recently, it's more like being on the beach, because there's so much sand that's been washed up onto the pavement. And running through sand is hard. That is hard work. And with the wind that we had yesterday, running out was fantastic. I was feeling really good, going, oh, I'm going really fast, and thinking, yeah, you know that half of that is the wind behind you. And then we turned around to go back, and oh my god, it was so strong. It was ridiculous trying to run into that wind and then all the sand whipping up in your face. I still feel like I've got a grain of sand in my right eye somehow. It just feels really, you know, when you feel like you've got a stray eyelash or something like that. And this has been all day yesterday. It's horrible. Anyway, got back in from that, and thought, do you know what? I'd really like to have a bath, actually, and read one of my business books, because I've been on a bit of a business book buying spree recently. So I've got 4 or 5 lined up that I want to read. And having finished the bath, I got out, I thought, I want to carry on reading my book, even though I know I should sit at my computer and do all these other bits. And so it was lovely. I just ended up having a day on the sofa with Scamp, reading my book. We went out for another walk in the afternoon. But it was just really, really nice. I did a little tiny bit of work later on in the afternoon. Had to do some hockey stuff from Saturday to clear that up. Had the conversation with the lady from Canada who's in New York. And then that was it. Went back on the sofa and read again for the remainder of the evening. And it was such a chilled day. It was lovely, and I thought, actually, I'm going to set that out as an intention. This is what I want my Sundays to be like. I quite like going for the run on the Sunday morning. We don't do it every Sunday, but I quite like coming back and thinking, right, what am I going to read for the rest of the day? So I'm going to be trying to actively work towards not planning to do work stuff on a Sunday other than reading. So we shall see. I shall report back on how that goes. That's the plan anyway.
Well, you know, we were talking about that, and this probably leads into the next section, what we're going to talk about, change.
Yes, yeah, for top of mind, so yeah.
Appropriate to talk about today, because it is top of mind, because obviously, you know, the biggest change I'm noticing already after, you know, I'd say that this was the second proper weekend, because the first one was just was a blur. We were just boxes everywhere and whatnot.
Yeah,
but you know, yesterday was sort of the first proper weekend, and you know, Amy came down and everything, and it's just about, you know, I'm the same as you. I always, you know, when I was back in Droitwich, I would just work all the time on the weekends. It wasn't really anything I particularly wanted to do. I'd go out for, you know, coffee with friends and things like that, but then scuttle back home again and you know, put on the laptop. But now there's just so many things, so many nice places to go and things to do, and you know, nice walks and different walks and on the beach and all that sort of stuff. I can see myself sort of not really, having a big change in that department.
And I think that's quite right too. I mean, you know, I have always, even back in corporate life, I have always, you know, had some stuff to do in and around weekends, not every weekend, certainly. But it wasn't unusual for me to think, oh, do you know what? My brain's just not in it. I'll save that for a weekend. Because it was all stuff, you know, I never, or rarely, I should say, took stuff home because I absolutely had to and I was up against deadlines and blah, 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 all the rest of it. In freelance life, yeah, there have been occasions where it's been, no, I absolutely have to get this done. There's no other time to do it. And so I have to work the weekend. But what I'm trying to get into is more of that, you know, doing it by choice rather than necessity. And having the freedom to go, actually, if I wake up and think I don't feel like doing it, it's fine. It's not a disaster. It's not going to push all the other things. It's not going to cause me undue stress the following week. And that was kind of, you know, what I was weighing up yesterday. Would it have helped to get these sort of little things off the to-do list? Yeah, absolutely. Of course it would have done. But was it more important for me at the time to take that bit of chill time and reading time and just relaxing and enjoying the Sunday like, dare I say it, normal people?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
And I absolutely don't regret doing it at all. But isn't it odd how we just get into these habits, don't we, of what we're doing? And then when our eyes are opened through big change to what life could be or how things could be, it's kind of, wow, why have I been doing it that way all along? This is much better for me. Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting how change, how it sort of you can plan for change, can't you?
Yeah.
But it never kind of, but unexpected byproducts of change happen that you haven't planned, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Because you can, and we were sort of, when we were chatting about this earlier, I think there are two things to take into account when change happens. One is what happens logically, and this is, you know, within you rather than the situation. You think about what happens logically, and that's what we base our planning on. is the logic of the situation, but actually there is the emotional side of it as well. Actually, well, no, as your new gym instructor well knows, yeah. there's the emotional side of dealing with change as well. And I think that is the bit that I know certainly I am spectacularly bad at dealing with. The logical stuff I can deal with till the cows come home, and I can plan to the nth degree and you know, have everything worked out and da-da-da and all the rest of it. But the bit I don't plan for is the, yeah, but am I actually going to feel like doing it? And is it going to be more stressful for me mentally to push on through and do this than just taking a bit of time out and giving myself decompression time? So I think that is something that I mean, you know, are you the same in that respect, would you say?
Just repeat that one again.
So you can, when you're planning a change, you know change is coming.
Yeah.
Right? You can plan for, logically, this is what needs to happen. So in the case of moving house, you need to sort out all your utilities. You need to cut them off from one end and get them reconnected from the other end. You need to get your broadband sorted. You need all your tradespeople lined up, et cetera, et cetera. You want your new gym sorted out. Fine. Yeah. That's on a logical level. But on the emotional level, dealing with the sudden uncontrollable burst of emotion that comes through, because it is a traumatic situation, even though you want to do it and it's something that, you know, you have chosen to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It still needs dealing with.
Yeah. I think I've been, certainly with this particular change, totally unprepared for this.
Yeah.
I was warned, you know, my friend Rebecca, who, as you know, lives, is a Train Talk member, and she lives around the corner from me now, which is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, she, I talked to her, you know, quite a lot about this in the last few weeks, and she said, you know, when you come, you know, be prepared for days where you're kind of, oh, this is great, and other days where you just think, oh god, what the hell am I doing here, you know?
Yeah,
feel like that for a while, you know, you'll just and just accept that as being, you know, perfectly normal that mm-hmm. you have it. I mean, I think, as I said to you last week, when I was, and we'll come on to Jen and how she's reacted to it, when I was kind of up in the night with her, you know, at sort of 3:30 in the morning, when I was standing, you know, out in the cold conservatory, and
yeah,
you know, and just doing kind of all this, like just looking out the window and thinking, I want to go home now.
Yeah,
I've had enough of this. This is like, yeah, holiday's over. I want to go home. Thank you. You know, and it's kind of, I think I'll just have, so emotionally, it just affects you in lots of unexpected ways. So I think, you know, with any change, because, you know, well, obviously if you're thinking about making changes in your business, say, you know, you can do all the stuff on your spreadsheet and plan it all out and all the rest of it, but what you have got to take into account is the emotional impact and the sort of hassle factor sometimes, and how that affects you, because it's always easier to just go, I mean, we're kind of prepared, but yeah, obviously we're making this change from Active Campaign to Infusionsoft.
Yes,
we know it's going to be better in the end,
mm-hmm.
But already it's sort of taken up quite a lot of time, and you know, we've not even flicked the switch yet, which we are hoping to do, you know, by the end of the week, and you know, we've got to be prepared for it to be kind of, you know, a lot of hassle. what the hell are we doing? Why did we remind me again? Why we decided?
Yeah, completely.
You've got to try and prepare for that as best as you can, haven't you? About the, you know, the hassle factor, the anger factor, the emotional factor, you know, all those sorts of things in any change that you make in your business.
Definitely, and I think, I mean, the people for whom this is probably most pertinent are those that are just on the cusp of going freelance as well, because I mean, certainly for me, that's been the biggest change in my life in the last, where are we now, 26 years,
yeah.
You know, having set up back end of 2014. Now, it was pretty traumatic for, I would say, a year, 18 months before that at work, because of all the stuff leading up to taking redundancy and that kind of thing. But I mean, yeah, I don't want it to sound like it was totally miserable. I chose redundancy. I chose to set up my business. I wanted to take that opportunity, but definitely there were days where I was thinking, woohoo, this is great. I get to go shopping when I feel like it. And then when I got Scamp, It was like, oh yeah, absolutely. I've been wanting a dog for such a long time, and now I've got the time I can devote to him, and you know, I can go for dog walks and all that kind of stuff. Although in today's weather, why would you? But you know, it's those sorts of things. And then other days where it was like, I have no idea where next month's mortgage is going to come from. Yeah. Where's the money going to come from? I just don't know. Now, I was very fortunate in that I had a small redundancy sum, that, you know, got me through the first 6 months or so, by being incredibly frugal with what I was doing. But at the same time, it was still kind of, you know, those moments where you just think, you know, why have I done this sort of thing? And what on earth am I thinking of? I don't have that security. And look at all these people going around with their office jobs, and you know, they know where their money's coming from at the end of the month and all that kind of stuff. And then other times where it was just like, I'm so glad I'm out of that. So glad. And you're absolutely right. You do have to plan for this stuff. And we do plan for this stuff. I mean, you know, most sensible people will plan for this stuff. But it's the unexpected things that are the ones that have the capacity to really sort of upend us, don't they? You know, is there any way that we can plan for the unexpected?
Asking the same question I was thinking, can you? Or is it one of those sorts of things that, again, at the head level, you know, you can plan. Oh yes, I know I'm going to be emotional, therefore I'll plan, you know, for the days when I'm going to be feeling emotional. But then emotionally,
you know. Doesn't follow a timetable emotion, really, does it? I think you're right. I think you can be logically aware that something is going to happen. It's like with, you know, when we make the big switch for you from ActiveCampaign to Infusionsoft, we can prepare for the fact that something's going to go wrong. And it's not going to be anybody's fault, and it's not going to be it's certainly not something that we could necessarily avoid. I think it's just sensible to say something's going to not work the way we've intended it to work, you know, and we'll just have to wait and see what that is and sort it out when we get there. But at the same time, it's kind of, yes, but it's the not knowing what it's going to be and when it's going to happen and what it's going to affect that kind of, you know, sets my teeth on edge a little bit, because it's... Yes.
I know.
Especially if we do it at the end of this week, because it's Trader Talk Live the next week, and I've only got 2.5 days in the office to sort anything out. And it's just, you know, I might be in the ambassadors meeting going, sorry, Sharon, can't update you on my actions because I'm sorting your websites out.
I know, yeah. And at least we won't be dealing with Zapier problems.
Oh, thank God. Oh, that blooming program, honestly.
The whole load, by the way, when I did manage to get back online again, I uncovered so many people that had joined this service, and it hadn't gone onto ActiveCampaign or manually. You know, fortunately, they haven't contacted me and kicked up a fuss about it. But,
if they do, they do. I think if anybody doesn't give you a little bit of leeway when you say, you know, really sorry that this hasn't worked the way it has, but I have just moved house. you know, and it's not just moved house to another place just down the road or the next village over. This is 2.5 hours worth. Exactly that. I've just moved country. You are well within your rights to say, I have just moved country. So if anybody did kick off, then you'd, I think you've got a pretty good excuse for that one. But I mean, you know, there. Do we always choose change? No, I don't think we do. I think there are times when things do happen outside of our control. You know, the thing that I guess is the most obvious example of that would be, you know, as we're getting older, our parents are going to pass away, that kind of thing. So, you know, those are things that for the most part happen unexpectedly, and we need to deal with those. But I think there is when it comes to our business, I think we give ourselves false expectation that we will be able to control everything. And I think there is a lot that we can control. There's a lot that we can choose. There's a lot that we can do to put fail safes in place and to put systems and processes and automations and have our support network and all that kind of stuff. But if we think that that's the only stuff that we're going to need to deal with, then I think that's a little bit naive, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Because just as it in, you know, any corporate environment that you work in, you know, change happens. I mean, change is going to happen because, you know, the world is changing all the time. You know, look at how much it's changed since we started our business. You know, how much you take for granted now, the internet, your phone, how much we take automation for granted. You know, we didn't have it before, you know, recording podcasts. Mm-hmm. That a few years ago, etc., etc. So change will happen regardless of whether you want it to or not in your business, because that is the way the world works. I mean, God, we were talking yesterday actually with Amy about the fact that, you know, cars are most likely going to be banned in years to come, and
yeah,
you know, they're already phasing out diesel cars and that, you know. So how are we all going to cope with that if the government turned around and said, right, that's it, if you live in this area then you just have to use public transport and that's it, you know, and things like that that we, you know, that you can't control, you just have to yes. get up, and things like that are going to happen in your business.
Oh, definitely.
Or not.
Well, I mean, you know, you talk about the things that we didn't used to do. When I started my business, I couldn't do any of the stuff that I'm doing now. I'm sure I've talked about this before, but I didn't know anything about creating online courses. I didn't know anything about building websites. The first person that I talked to about a website for my business was somebody that I used to work with who was in IT, and he didn't use WordPress. And I was talking to him about it, and I said, oh, I'd quite like to have a WordPress website. And, you know, do you do that? Oh, no, but I've heard a lot of people are doing WordPress websites. This was 2015. This is not back in the dark ages. This was 5 years ago, you know, almost to the day. And yeah. And it was kind of, and I remember thinking at the time, I looked at his website and what the sort of stuff he was doing, and it wasn't neat enough for me. There were just too many things that were off. It's like, right, I'm going to learn how to do it myself. And yeah. You know, who knew that in 5 years time that would be probably it's getting close to 60-70% of my business. You know, when I've got a lot going on in terms of I'm pushing something for online courses, then that takes a bigger chunk, or that is a bigger chunk of my turnover. But the stuff, the bread and butter stuff that keeps the business going is the website stuff. Yeah. Most yeah. definitely. You know, I couldn't do that 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if I dread to think, actually, you know, where I would be and what I would be doing if I hadn't sort of found this stuff. And yeah. thought, actually, I really enjoy doing that. I might carry on doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very odd. It is very odd. So I think what we're saying here is that, you know, change will happen, whether you like it or not. You know, change will happen in your business. There might be some changes in your business that you are making out of choice. But when change does happen to you, whether it be forced change or whether it's chosen change, then don't underestimate the impact of the emotional aspect of it.
Definitely.
And you can plan for that. I think you just have to, it's quite hard, isn't it, as I'm saying it, but you have to give yourself a bit of slack.
Yeah.
You put yourself a bit of slack, really.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Don't beat yourself up by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Also, I think the things that we can put in place, and this is why I think you and I both get quite frustrated with the short-termist view of people who, for example, look at the Train Talk community and say, well, I'm quite busy at the moment, so I don't have time to interact with that community, therefore I don't need it. It's yeah. kind of missing the point that it's yeah. not going to be like that the whole time. Your yeah. business will change. The circumstances will change. Maintain your relationships. If nothing else, just maintain the relationships now, because you're going to need that network when change comes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that happens so often. People mm-hmm. sort of in and out. Oh, I don't need it now, because I'm too busy.
And
as you say, missing the point of it. It's yeah. there to be running in the background for you to be, you know, connecting. And cause you never know, you know, when work is going to come up as a result of. God, I was just thinking about you the other day. I mean. How much work have you had?
I know.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Honestly, I think it's one of those things where I am just, I don't want to spend too long looking back on how circumstances have fallen into place to get me to where I am now, because it would just scare the bejesus out of me to think about, but what if? What if I hadn't decided to have that conversation with you when you offered it? What if I hadn't decided to go to my first Trainer Talk Live? What if, what if? I don't want to think about that stuff, because the alternative, where I'm so happy with what I'm doing now and just love my business and love the stuff I'm doing, and so grateful for the fact that there are so many people that I call friends as well as people that are clients. It's just that thinking about the alternative is just too horrible. It's too scary to go there. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's about cultivating those networks and those friendships and those business relationships, and just taking the time to get to know people. And I think, I mean, you know, we can go off on a whole kind of separate section about how to get business from a community, but that's not how I've ever approached any of this stuff. I mean, honestly, the reason that I'm doing the stuff that I'm doing now is kind of your fault, because you've been the one going, come on, Jeanette, what are you doing? Think about what it is you really enjoy and focus on that. And it's, you know, I mean, that's very, very easy and very glib of me to go, oh, it's all Sharon's fault. But you have been pivotal for me in where I am now. And that's something that, again, I'm eternally grateful for. But clearly don't want to examine it too closely, because I might go, God, what if I'd never decided to stalk Sharon? What would have happened then? You know, and the reality is, of course, my life would just be different somewhere else, you know. But the fact that I value what I have now so much just makes me think, wow, you know, did I make that luck? Did that luck come to me? What were the various elements that were in there? And I do think that there is a lot to be said for making the best of the opportunities you are given. So you gave me my first opportunity to actually formally talk to trainers about online courses. You also gave me my first opportunity to formally talk about building websites, and gave me the push to go, actually, do you know what? I've been doing this. I've been building websites for people. That's the only constant in my business. From the year I started, I have been building websites for people, and yet it's the last thing for me to realise and go, oh, yeah, that should actually be a formal part of my business.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that's you're right. I think that's a whole topic for another podcast, isn't it?
Totally.
Relationships and how important they are, and how we can nurture and cultivate relationships in business, because they just are so important.
The
short-termism of when people go, I don't need that right now.
You're
always gonna need it.
Yeah.
Always, because you never know.
Completely. And I think, you know, if you are in the business of wanting people to give you money for something that you're doing, then to not be a people person, I think, is it's going to be a short-lived business, I think.
Absolutely.
It's where we go with that one.
Yeah,
anyway, all right, maybe that's next week's topic.
Yeah, goodness me. All right, so Dog Walking Digest.
Yes. So how is the gem?
How is the gem, or as Simon Linnard described it, the legend?
Yeah, it's true. Legend in her own lunchtime.
Legend. It was lovely when I put that post on Facebook and we're on the beach. So so she has been, you know, extremely unsettled. As you know, a few months ago, the vet reckoned that she had got doggy dementia. With that, and it's actually, we felt as though it was just getting worse and worse and worse over the last few weeks, but now she's here. We've had this week of her being really bad. I mean, she came in the house and she took one look at it and was like, what is this? and she wouldn't eat for about 3 days. She wouldn't go out in the garden without one of us, you know, being there. She was very, very upset, wasn't sleeping at night, you know, was following me around everywhere, you know, couldn't even go to the toilet without scratching at the door, you know, that kind of thing. But the one thing that she did really take to immediately was the beach. Oh, she absolutely loved it down there.
Excellent.
I don't know whether it's because she's always liked water. Mm-hmm. And also I think as well, I think the sand is really soft on her paws and feet and things like that. So she's absolutely loving that. So that's been really great. And now all of a sudden, I'd say in the last 3 days, she's really, really started to settle. I think she's now coming to understand that we are here to stay, you know, kind of thing. And she's worked out, obviously, she's having the same walks, you know, taking her back to the same walks, some of the same walks that we did when we were on holiday. So that's kind of familiar.
Yeah.
The kind of new ones. And so, she's eating again now. Been to a new vet, which was great. He told her that she was, very physically healthy.
Good.
She doesn't have one of these anxiety attacks, only one in the last 3 days, which is amazing. So things are looking up, I think, on the gem front.
Excellent. Good. So have you had any Swansea wildlife jumping out at you yet?
No Swansea wildlife jumping out as yet. Have discovered, Amy discovered a rather unusual looking fish washed up on the beach yesterday, which apparently is a dogfish.
Okay.
So she took photos of it and went away to discuss said fish with her biology friends.
That's a whole different world, isn't it?
A whole different world indeed. So that's the only wildlife that has sort of leapt out of me.
Okay.
But I'm sure there's
time. Oh yeah, it's going to take time to sort of filter through the network, because whilst a two and a half hour journey for us in a car isn't really that much, for the wildlife network it could take a little while
I'll be reporting. But you know, it's been great where, you know, those beach walks, literally where we sort of live, we walk down the hill and then 5 minutes to this lovely gardens called Klein Gardens, which you literally then walk down through the gardens to the beach, which is really lovely.
wonderful. Yeah, that's one of the things that I really regret isn't the right word, and it's not disappointing either, because he is what he is, a little chap, my scamp. I had visions before I got scamp that of walking on the beach in Bournemouth, and you know, Sunday morning strolls and that kind of thing, and a couple of the people that I run with, shuffle with on a Sunday morning, sometimes they bring their dogs, and he just doesn't like the beach. It's too scary. And I don't know if it was because I took him there when he was too new to me and to the surroundings, and it was one of those days where it was sunny but it was quite windy, so the waves were crashing on the beach. And he just, I mean, he had a little sniff around and all the rest of it, but I just, because he didn't like it then, I haven't really taken him back since. And it's kind of lazy, but not really, because we're so close to Queen's Park and there are so many different varieties of walks in there. And he loves it there. That's the thing. Yeah. He really, really loves it. He gets so excited when, particularly if we've been away or he's been up at Mum's for however long, it's like it's the first time he's been back to the park in ages. And he gets so giddy with excitement about sniffing everything and going everywhere. And he's doing really well at the moment, actually, in terms of not being that grumpy with other dogs. Occasionally he will be. But it's usually if I've got him on the lead and the other dog still rushes up to him, then he'll be a little bit grumpy about that. He's pretty much okay as far as that's concerned. I can't think of anything. And we had a few branches down and that kind of thing in the park because of all the storms and what have you, but nothing major going on. I did see. So do you remember last year, nasty little man, golfist in the park?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. So I hadn't seen him since up until about 2 weeks ago. And they must have the same tournament thing going on because he's been back a couple of times. But the first time I saw him, he'd actually hit his golf ball into the trees. And I thought, well, that serves you right. Karma's getting you, matey. It's just kind of, it's one of those things where you think, well, you know, how do I feel about this? And it's like, well, no, it's not going to bother me. And as long as he keeps himself to himself, no problem whatsoever about that at all. But it was quite funny just sort of seeing, oh, having to dig it out of the woods, are you? Oh, poor thing.
I wanted to bring up something that I've discovered already. Not sure whether it counts as a wildlife thing or not about Swansea. I want to know, why do men in Swansea wear shorts? find them out on the dog walk.
Well, it's clearly a fashion thing. Have you suggested it to Jim? I mean, you know.
I did, but he said not in the middle of February.
Well, you know what? I think in the community, we've really only got one qualified person to talk about that, haven't we? Yes. And that's the lovely Alex Hewlett, who will...
about this next week, because they go out in for everything else. So they do the obligatory, because we all have to wear hats here.
Clearly. Yeah.
Clearly, so they wear the hats. You know, they've got the coat on, the waterproof coat or the fleece or whatever, the gloves, you know, the appropriate footwear.
And shorts. Okay, well, you know, technically skin is waterproof, so yeah, but yeah, that's a bit random, isn't it? A bit bizarre.
Yeah, I did actually say to some guy walking past me, I just took one look at him and I was like, I mean, it was Saturday, it was blowing a gale, yeah, and it was so cold and rain. I looked at him and I couldn't resist it. I went, it's a bit cold for that, isn't it?
What did he say?
Laughed and walked on. Oh dear. If anybody knows the answer to that question, if we've got any men who are listening to this from the Swansea area, and you know, please let me know. Go into our podcast group and on Facebook and let us know the answer to that question.
Completely. Well, I tell you what is definitely going to happen, especially after all this wet and windy weather that we're having. The first nice day we get, there's going to be a ton of people out in kind of, you know, t-shirts and shorts and all that kind of stuff. Oh my God, the sun's out. It's going to be amazing.
Oh my God. Oh, just that's just reminding me actually of something that, did I tell you about the yoga instructor?
No.
Well, I haven't actually been here. So went to my new gym and he was telling me about the yoga classes. Mm. I was saying that the instructor from the person who runs the yoga class is Gwen of Gavin and Stacey.
No. Really?
He was joking at first. He was like, no, she really is. And apparently, yes, that's what she does. She does that. Yeah, so I'm definitely going to get along to that at some point.
But most really definitely.
Is my old gym, my trainer, Sean from Sanders, he was obsessed with Gavin and Stacey, still is. So I was like, on WhatsApp, I was like, oh, you'll never guess what, you know, what this is. And he was like, really? And then he said, oh, you'll definitely have to go to that. And then he said to me, well, as long as Uncle Bryn doesn't go in the gym with his top off.
Yeah, no, you don't want that. He'd probably wear lycra, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, indeed, yes, indeed. So, yeah, so anyway.
Well, claim to fame already. I say. Well, you're definitely, yeah, you will have to report back on that one. All right, so that's the Dog Walking Digest. So, events, what's going on, Sharon? Anything?
Anything going on next week?
No. Is there? Oh, hang on. Isn't that the small little event called Trainer Talk Live?
Yeah. Trainer Talk Live back in the Midlands.
Woo!
Ready.
Ah, yes, that's true. That's going to be really weird, isn't it? Now, yeah. I wonder if it'll feel like driving home or...
Oh, it will, completely.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it will completely. I'm going to have my hair done on Wednesday. I'm going to see Dave.
Fair enough.
Yeah, definitely. I've got to go back and see Dave. It's always a perfect opportunity the day before Trainer Talk Live, isn't
very
it?
Good. Yeah, very good.
So, yes, I will be doing that. And, so last day to book is this Friday, the 28th of February. Mm-hmm. So if there's anybody who hasn't got their ticket yet, then can you please get on a book?
Yes, hurry.
I do like to know who's coming. And also, we've got a number of Trainsport locals. Not going to go through the full list because there are far too many to mention. But just go have a look at the Trainers Talk website when you will see all the Trainers Talk locals listed there coming up for the year. But also just to mention that we have got a couple of new ones. I don't know whether we mentioned that we have got one in Edinburgh.
Yep.
Coming up with a lovely
girl. We did mention it, but we said that the booking details wouldn't be available, but they will be available by the end of this week, or at least that's the plan for them to be available.
Yes, that's the plan. And also we've got another new one in the East Midlands.
Yes, indeed.
East Midlands venue, literally right by East Midlands Airport. So if anybody would like to come in on a helicopter, there's a pad there for you to land.
And who's running East Midlands?
Karen Curitan.
Woohoo!
So, our Trainer Talk local leader for East Midlands. So all that's very exciting too.
It is.
Onto the website once Jeanette has updated it. She has to do it by Friday because, as we all know, she doesn't work at weekends now.
Yeah, that's true. It is. It's one of those things where it's kind of, right, okay, we've been talking about this for far too long. I just need to get all the codes that Sarah, the person that's been doing your Infusionsoft stuff for you, has supplied all the codes, and it's just a question of going in now and trying to make it all work. Yeah, I'm going to hopefully start having a little play with that this afternoon. So fingers crossed. Fingers crossed that we get it all done. But whatever happens, I think we can promise that you will be able to book for both Edinburgh and East Midlands by the end of this week. But I'm not going to tell you whether or not it'll be through the new system or not. That will be dependent on how it goes this week. Fingers crossed. It'll be fine. And I remember in doing my rundown of the week, I didn't talk about Trainer Talk Local in Bournemouth because we had the rearranged one on Valentine's Day. It was great. There you go. Good job. We had brownies, so I can confirm brownies are cake. And this time the fruit platter wasn't as good. I'm going to give them a note on this because they gave us some grapes and then they gave us apples, which is fine if the apples are cut up. But when you're trying to have a sort of a meeting. Oh, shit. Hello, Jem. See, it had to happen even in a new location. She's interrupting. Oh, the door's not as close this time. I tell you what, listeners, Sharon's new office looks very nice and light and bright for her to record lots of lovely videos for. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
She's smiling at me going, yes, of course I will, Jeanette. Excellent. It's when you're trying to have a meeting, there were six of us, and it's eating an apple is something that you can't really do while you're trying to participate in a conversation as well. Bite size chunks of fruit like we've had before. So strawberries or bits of pineapple or segments of orange, that kind of thing are absolutely fine. So I do need to give them a few notes about that one. But it was great. It was really good. We now have a new member as a result in the Trainer Talk community. Woohoo! So we welcome Simon Wellstead into the gang, and it was lovely. We had some really good conversations about various bits and pieces and impressing upon people the importance of coming to, as I call it, the mothership, Trainer Talk Live. So I think Simon's coming up to that, which would be really cool.
Yes, he is,
really cool. Really, really good. So lots of Trainer Talk locals. And I think we've got a pretty good coverage over the country now, haven't we? I think it's probably just a bit further down into the southwest. We haven't got much. So we've got me in Bournemouth and Audrey Bodman in Bristol. But any further west than that, we don't really go, do we?
No, not at the moment.
Watch this space. Oh yes, watch this space. All right, brilliant. So that's the events to consider. So the only thing for us to do is to finish off with the online course creation top tip. And this week we are talking about number 55, which is the importance of a completion certificate. Now, before people roll their eyes and go, well, yes, of course I understand that, Jeanette, I run training courses, not many people think about it necessarily when it comes to online courses, and it can still be a really powerful way of motivating and engaging your learners. And most platforms and plugins that you use will give you the opportunity to offer a completion certificate. And I would absolutely say, unless you have a really good reason to not do it, then I would say do it. Now, that said, and I should practice what I preach, I don't think I've got any certificates set up for my stuff currently, although, you know, I will put in my excuse of being in a slightly different frame than the people that I'm training to create online courses. Our learners want some kind of evidence that they've gone through the online course and that they've got a higher level of knowledge now around something. It's exactly the same principles as you would use for a face-to-face training course, but it can work just as well even without giving them a piece of paper. to hold on to. So you might have something professionally printed, you might have something that you know, they fill in themselves and print off themselves, or it might just be something like a little electronic badge or something like that that you can give to people to say, yes, this person has completed this course. Now you can have various mechanisms to check whether or not they have gone through the videos and completed enough of the videos to be able to say, yes, I've completed it. Or you can just say, yeah, you know, here's a thing to say that this person has enrolled on this course. Now what they do with that after that is entirely up to them. But the power of a completion certificate, it does fall under the auspices of gamification and giving people a sort of a reward for doing certain tasks. You could even give people, if you really wanted to go down the gamification route, you could give people some kind of completion award after every single section if you wanted to, particularly if it's an in-depth course. It doesn't really count if it's a mini course, because there aren't enough sections to do that. But for a big one, so let's take some of our Microsoft Office experts in the community. If you were offering a course that is a beginner level Microsoft Word, for example, you might want to give them a little reward for learning how to use tables, or learning how to sort out your margins, or set up a master template of some description or something like that. Can you tell that I don't teach Word? But the principle is there for you to use that one. So I would say, just because it's an online course, don't forget about the power of a completion certificate. It can be just as valuable and have just the same effect for your learners as being another motivational tool and another thing that you can mention in the benefits. Because of course it leads directly into the reasons why we buy of a status uplift, being able to have something on your wall or displayed on your email signature or something like that says, oh yes, I've done this thing. Have you? Oh no, you haven't done it. Well, I've done it. So, you know, that's where it all fits in the overall scheme of things. So there we go.
Well done.
Thanks. All right, so I think that's it for this week. Yes, anything else you want to?
No, that's just to mention, if you haven't joined our Facebook group.
Oh yes.
So Trainer Talk of the podcast, we have our own Facebook group now, just to, so that we can, just so that we've got home, really. So if anybody's got any comments or any questions that you want to ask us, or you want to catch up on particular episodes or contribute to further discussions. So obviously this week we're going to be in there chatting about change. So do go ahead and join the group. We'd love to see you in there.
Absolutely. And as always, the links will be in the show notes for all of those various bits and pieces. Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you, as always, listeners, for your time and patience in listening to us. Sharon says ramble on. I have a secret suspicion that she makes far more sense than I do. I can ramble on for years with the best of them. But anyway, hope you've enjoyed this week's episode, and tune in again for next week's when perhaps we'll be talking about relationships. Who knows? But we will see you then. So take care, everybody. See you next week. Bye.